and welcome to another episode of Lit Up with Nina Alvarez. I am your host, Nina Alvarez. This week we have on two very special guests. We have on Kate Royal, who's been here before, and Alec Michael. And we're going to be, did I say that right? It's not like Michelle or...
Oh, no, it's
Michael.
Right.
Okay.
My full name is actually Alec Michael Powell, and I'm kind of going back and forth between whether I want to have my
your nom de
my
plume.
Name be Alec Michael or not.
All right.
Still deciding. So
we'll keep your eyes
we'll
out
try
for
it
both names,
size.
People. We are actually going to be speaking with Alec and Kate about the musical they are working on right now. They're in the middle of creating and writing a musical together. And I think this is the first time we've had the show be about the actual process of creation in the middle of creation. Those of you who don't know, I'm going to give a little bit of background on both Kate and Alec. So Kate Royal is a native New Yorker with a BA in theater and English from SUNY Geneseo. There she wrote, directed, and produced theater in addition to focused studies in film analysis and the Shakespeare canon, specifically through a feminist queer lens. I really like that about Kate. She's got the, you know, she's got the traditional canon down, but she also, you know, is very interested in contemporary theory and
Adrian Rich.
Yeah, exactly. Her productions include original plays along with titles ranging from Neil LaBute. I always get this wrong. It's been like three times now. The Mercy Seat to Romeo and Juliet. She has served as assistant director to playwright Elizabeth Wong in 2013 and to Michael Sexton, artistic director of the Shakespeare Society. On the world premiere of Kelly Masterson's Edith with the Berkshire Theater Group in 2012. Upon graduating, Kate relocated to Rochester, New York, where she is an artist in residence at the Multi-Use Community Cultural Center, also known as MUCC, and has been featured in their season as well as the 2014 Rochester Fringe Festival. And I'd like to take a moment here to say specifically the shows that Kate has done just in the last year. Mm-hmm. That I've seen. First, 2014 Fringe, The Nameless Daves of Gumdrop Smith. Mm-hmm. Which was a one-time show and the best show I saw during Fringe, whoa, hands down. And I saw a bunch of them. The wonderful and unforgettable play Mammoth, which was shown at MUCC. What month was that?
When
was
that? Early March.
Early March. I had to feel, yes. Yeah. Which we spoke about in an earlier episode, mm-hmm, of Lit Up. Mm-hmm. And then your most recent piece, Girls Can Tell, mm-hmm, which we discuss also on Lit Up in a prior episode and was shown at Geneseo and also at MUCC. Mm-hmm. And now she is on her way to Northwestern University to earn her MFA in writing for the stage and screen.
Yep.
Yes. So which one do you think it'll be, stage or screen?
I think it's going to end up being screen, personally.
Yeah,
I see myself moving toward television writing. I think is
the golden age of TV.
It is.
It's the time to do it.
It is.
Okay, so this is Kate. Kate, welcome to the show.
Glad to be back.
And Kate has brought with her Alec. I'm gonna call him Alec Michael.
I like it.
Yeah. And Alec Michael is a teaching performing artist based in Rochester, New York, with credentials from leading performing arts educational institutions such as the Interlochen Arts Academy,
yep,
Eastman School of Music, which we all know and love, and Boston University. Alec is a sought-after teacher, coach, and performer in the Rochester area. A true crossover artist, Alec has performed in concerts, recitals, and theatrical productions encompassing genres from classical to pop/rock. You do real rock, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In addition to his outstanding performance history, Alec maintains excellent proficiency on several instruments and voice balancing active composition projects. Which instruments are these, sir?
Well, my major through high school and undergrad was saxophone, and from there I taught myself how to double, I guess is what we call it, on clarinet, flute, oboe and bassoon. Wow. And I was a music education major as well. So I took a lot of methods courses to learn how to place all the strings instruments, all the brass instruments.
Wow. Okay. You're now working at Spectrum Creative Arts in Pittsford, New York.
Yes.
Where you have been brought on as their first ever department chair of theater.
Yes, I'm very excited about it.
Okay. Well, congratulations. That sounds exciting.
Thank you.
So what I find really inspiring about this duo, Kate is, are you 24 yet, Kate?
I will be 24 in August. Okay. I'm still 23.
Right, you're still 23. Alec is 26. What they're doing is they're going out there and they're writing their own stuff. They're producing their own stuff. Alec has a couple shows coming up, which we'll talk about later. And I think that this is something that a lot of people in theater and music and in writing need to get their minds around, is that people aren't going to come and find you. Mm-hmm. You really have to build your own, you know, baseball field and hope that the ghost baseball players will come show up. No, but basically you have to build it and then they will come. And mm-hmm. then that's how you get your name out there. And it's very empowering. It can also be a little scary. So we get to talk with Kate and Alec today in the middle of their process of writing a musical. And I know as a writer and novelist that no one can promise that this musical will be finished. No one can promise it will be something that Kate and Alec want to put into the world if it is finished. And if it does, no one can promise that it's going to be like their greatest triumph. It could be.
Right.
But the beauty of the creative process is partly that uncertainty mm-hmm. and that openness. So I'm sure you guys have a lot to say about the process, and I'm just going to give it over to you. Maybe we'll start with like where the idea came from.
Yeah. Do you want to take that one, where it
sure.
came from?
Sure. About almost like exactly a year ago, I did a workshop reading of my play Mammoth at Muck. And I think that was the first thing of mine you had ever seen. We'd only known each other for a short time at that point.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And we were out after the reading, and you were talking about how you wanted to write a musical and were interested in collaborating on something for me to write book and for you to write the score.
This was after many margaritas.
Several margaritas at Selena's.
Best time to plan projects.
Carafes of margaritas. And I had this play called The Weekends, which is currently the working title for the musical. It was about millennials. It had its roots in some writing prompts in a playwriting class. And it was just kind of this amorphous series of scenes. It didn't really have a through line. And, it wasn't really clicking as a play. And I didn't know why, but it felt like, no, this is just not the right medium for the story that I'm trying to tell. And then I was like, oh, this would actually work really interestingly as a musical.
A musical.
Why is that?
Well, the kind of basic plot of it, or, you know, what it's about.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have a plot quite yet. It centers on these three friends, post-grads. They're all about 23, 24. And it's just kind of following them in the wake of graduation and them being kind of lost and the things that they do. And the structure of the play is that it follows them from weekend to weekend. So you see them on Saturday night and the Sunday morning after. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of about the disillusionment that you feel from college and the expectations there and mm-hmm. the kind of sense of safety you have there. And then being like flung into the real world.
Yeah.
And just really trying to portray millennials honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Unashamedly.
Yeah, and without really, yeah.
Because we're both from that generation, so we can relate very well to those
and
characters.
There's definitely an element about it making it a musical as opposed to a play allows a kind of heightened
mm-hmm.
exploration of that. And, you know, the majority of what they're doing is this kind of trying to escape from reality, and musicals are kind of inherently allow those moments of escaping from being rooted in a realistic moment.
Right.
So it kind of gives this sort of, you know, that added element where, you know, yes, this is real. It's a realistic musical. It's set in the real world with real people, but gives it that added.
Right. I would say that in terms of writing, it sounds like it's lyrical. I mean, in the literary sense, it's, yeah, there's not really a through line, not a strong narrative. It's these moments.
Yeah.
So it would call like, yeah, like a lyrical poem. And so it actually bridges nicely to actual music lyrics.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Music being about, yeah, emotion. It's about emotion more than a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that you were profiled and got the cover of Rochester City newspaper about a month ago. It was so amazing to see. Yeah. And you were the you know, the tagline was, you know, that you're a writer for of the millennial generation, your own generation.
Yeah. No pressure.
No, but I mean, it was really, I think people were excited to see someone speaking and writing about millennials. I kind of feel like that kind of got skipped for a generation. The baby boomers were always writing about themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to the Gen Xers. That's my job. I feel like we just try to do everything else besides talk about ourselves. And then the millennials have, you know, everyone's focused on the millennials lately. Right. Everyone's got like digging, you know, not happy with them or criticizing them or defending them. But I think what's great is you're talking like unashamedly, honestly, about what you and people in their 20s right now are experiencing. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to get at it, I think, in a way that is not at all pedantic. Your stories are fun. They feel fresh. They incorporate, you know, modern like handheld devices and references.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also very, very contemporary themes of like, you know, gender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a feeling of being lost, not knowing what comes next.
Yeah.
And some alienation, I guess.
Yeah. And that's, you know, with this piece, you know, Mammoth, you know, the review of it and a lot of the response I heard from it really kind of planted it as this is a play about millennials. I'd never really seen it that way. It was just kind of, well, this is a contemporary play.
So,
I'm going
to
write.
Me, Mammoth was not so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I do think it is time specific in certain aspects, but this show, The Weeknds, is, I think we're both really determined to just kind of pull off the veil. And, you know, it was funny when I did a reading of the play, February of 2014 at Muck, and the audience that I had for it was a very small audience, and it was made up of mostly baby boomers watching it, and the response, they were horrified by the way I was depicting my own generation.
Was Mammoth?
No. This is The Weeknd. Sorry.
The Weeknd. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the opening scene of the play, which I will work and find its way into the musical.
It must.
Yeah, and it started from this as a 10-minute play of these three friends. And the three friends, it's a gay man, Jacob, a straight girl, Alicia, and a lesbian, Stephanie, sitting on a train after a night out in New York City on the train back to New Jersey, and a man across the aisle from them on the train starts masturbating.
Oh, okay.
And that comes from an absolutely true story.
No, I know that happens. It definitely happens. Yeah.
So it kind of started from that scene, and they're just sitting there, like talking about it and on their phones, and just this very quick language. And the whole thing is about, you know, the drugs they're doing and all the sex that they're having, and talking about all of those things very, very bluntly and pretty graphically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a portrayal of my generation, I think, that, you know, people of our parents' generation are, you know, I won't ever let my parents see that show.
Right.
But, you know, it's not to criticize that. It's not to,
yeah.
It's to say, I'm addicted to Facebook. I am attached to social media and my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a phantom limb, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I also have a college degree, and all of my friends are intelligent people who also spend half our days on Facebook. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We're participating in the culture we've created.
Right.
So that's really kind of my mission as a writer now, is to show that and say we don't have to apologize for that.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, Alec, now you were drawn to working with Kate after you saw Mammoth. Is that
what
I got? Okay.
Yes.
What was it specifically that you felt pulled toward?
I think, well, first of all, the play in and of itself was just very powerful to me. But I felt like, I don't know, like it was really cool to see somebody who was my age doing something so awesome.
Powerful,
and it really it sort of inspired me.
Yeah.
And I had always been, like, I've been a composer since I was in high school.
Mm.
And the last couple years of college, I started getting big into musical theater and opera. And I was really interested in writing for that medium. But music was my forte, not necessarily words.
Right.
So seeing Kate's play with dialogue that was just so perfect, I felt like, there's the words.
there they are.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's also a musician as well, which...
Right, right. You play guitar.
She's a very, very good guitarist.
I keep forgetting that. Yeah, that's true.
Well, and it's funny. I play guitar and I wrote music a lot, just like singer-songwriter type of stuff in high school, pretty seriously. And then when I got to college and just found other pursuits, I haven't. So it's been kind of fun in writing songs together to kind of exercise that part of my brain again, because I haven't really written.
And vice versa. I mean, the writing process, as far as, like, neither of us have ever written a musical before, but we've done our fair share of research into how contemporary composer book writer duos are doing it nowadays.
Lisa Cohn and Janine Tesori specifically.
we're big Fun Home fans.
That's Broadway. Probably our biggest inspiration right now, the musical Fun Home.
But it's really fun to sort of be primarily the composer, but also have a say in who these characters are and what their journey is. It's very collaborative, a lot more so than I thought it would be. And I'm very pleased with that.
So tell me what that first meeting was like.
Oh gosh.
When you both are like, okay, you got together, you have your coffee or your wine or whatever, and you're like, we're going to start.
Well, I think we had the idea like fairly soon after I saw Mammoth for the first time.
Yeah.
And then I read the play and it took a while for us to actually say we want to get started on this.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think, this past spring, once the full production of Mammoth was kind of under my belt, we started kind of going after it. It was definitely, it's been a completely different process than I am used to, because I feel like having never written a musical before, I'm really hyper-conscious of structure with it. And, you know, I think as far as examples we're following, you know, we don't have a rule book that says how to write a musical.
Yeah.
You know, we're taking it from a very kind of intuitive level and just, you know, working on the scenes that we feel like working on, or a song, you know, do we feel like writing a song or working on character? But we started from a place of really mapping out each character's journey. Because we're keeping it, I think we're keeping it very, very character driven.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And following these three individuals from point A to B. Because with a musical, more than with a play, you really have to be clear of motivation, objective, you know, And the best musicals are ones that have that structure but kind of hide it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, exposition and goals have to be established pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
So you need that through line much spelled out in a way that you don't really... that I haven't found you necessarily need to at the beginning of writing a play. So our first meetings were really about tracking character, figuring out what musical style fits each character.
That's exciting. What did you come up with for that?
Well, first of all, you should see the wall in the dining room.
Yeah, there's
apartment.
A wall take. It looks like psychotic.
Take a photo and send it to me, please. I'll put it on the show.
I will.
It's like in those crime dramas when you have like the obsessive cop with all the pictures on the wall.
That's great.
Lots of post-its and chicken scratch. Yeah. And,
so, I mean, yeah. Like specifically any styles that jumped out for a character yet?
Yeah. Well, I feel like the characters took on a very sort of autobiographical element to them.
Yeah.
Which wasn't originally, the original play didn't have a character based on me because Kay didn't know me then, you know, that sort of thing. But in that way, like, we're able to take the music that we really relate to and sort of give them over to these characters.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
I know that Stephanie is, I mean, this isn't in stone by any chance, but like the original plan is have her be more of a singer-songwriter, more acoustic sort of music to her.
All right.
Alicia's a little bit more... She's more of a promiscuous character. She's a...
very experimental in all senses of the word.
So she has a little elements of Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Kesha, like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, I'm not really sure what Jacob is like yet. The one song that...
But a bit more kind of classical in a sense.
Yeah.
But kind of more traditional, kind of playing on very traditional, more classical elements.
I see. Okay.
And making them contemporary.
A little bit more refined.
And so each of these characters is going to have a song or maybe multiple songs sung in their own style and their own brand.
Yeah.
And the lyrics, do you think, are going to be mostly autobiographical sort of?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, we've both kind of approached it. I think part of what was holding me back, at least, was my resistance to letting it be pretty autobiographical. And then I just kind of was like, you know what? No, I've been through a lot of stuff in the last year, so I'm just going to let this musical channel it all through this.
Same.
Great, yeah.
So that was actually very freeing. And so in terms of the book and the lyrics, it's not that hard necessarily to figure out what they're talking about in it because we can access
it
really
almost
the
feels
heart
a little bit
it.
Like cheating.
Yeah.
It's funny, but that's the best writing comes from that, when it can come from your own life experiences, or if some, at least even if it's an interior landscape that you're pulling from.
Yeah.
So you're both, even though this was Kate's story, you're both now being allowed to inhabit characters and infuse them with a bit of who you are.
Yeah. And I've really tried to push it toward starting from square one. You know, we have the play as more of a guideline.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's so much that I want to change from it.
You're open to it becoming something different.
Yeah, okay. I'm really trying to kind of, you know, the characters I like, but we're sort of starting just from that place and creating a new story with it.
Okay.
And it's really exhilarating.
Yeah.
Being able to, you know, keep what we like, keep what works. And, I mean, there have been countless times where we've been sitting in my apartment and she says something hilarious and I'm like, that has to go in there.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Cause it just seems like it would fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. So it seems like, I know the collaboration can make the process longer, kind of like any like democratic government takes longer time to put something through than a tyranny. But, but it sounds like you both are feeling there's a sense of flow. Right, like there's...
I feel like there's an element of the millennial that comes out in me wanting to have the sense of immediacy.
Yeah.
The sense of instant gratification where all of a sudden in 2 weeks, Kate and I will have this musical to put up before she goes. But that's just like not going to happen.
We'll maybe have a song finished. Yeah.
But then you look at like, I mean, we're going back to Fun Home because we're both really obsessed with it. But I mean, that show was 5+ years in the making, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So there's, I think we've both kind of, we kind of understand that it's going to be a process.
Yeah.
How are you going to continue when Kate's in Chicago?
I don't know.
This is what the internet's for, I guess.
Yeah, yes. You can Skype.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I feel like this is going to be something that we'll, you know, we'll work on it while we're in town together. But yeah.
God, it could be performed at Northwestern.
There we go. But it's something that we're still living through ourselves.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's learning how to write a musical.
Yeah, yeah, we're learning how to write the musical, and we're writing a musical about the period of life that we are currently experiencing.
Right, right.
So I'm excited to see a year from now, 2 years from now.
You just have more fodder.
Yeah, more fodder and a different perspective on this journey.
Now, I want to, before we close up, I'd love to talk with Alec about a show that he has this year in the 2015 Rochester Fringe Festival. And this is something that you've written, correct?
It's an adaptation, right? From a children's book.
Tell us all about it.
Sure. Many people might remember the book The Rainbow Fish from their childhood. I certainly do. And having worked in an elementary school for so long, it's still very prevalent in kids' lives. The themes of sharing and humility and sort of thing. It's a really classic book. And I used the book as sort of a vehicle for a composition exercise for myself to experiment with different styles of songwriting and harmony, like 1920s jazz and pop rock and gospel and all this stuff. And it was purely for myself as a writing exercise, and the end product ended up being something that I was very proud of. And I ended up getting, or I'm in the process of contracting permission, but I have permission to use the book. And so the Rainbow Fish will be going up during the Rochester Fringe Festival. And I'm super excited.
Well, tell people when and where.
Yeah, it's going to be at Blackfriars Theater. It's going to be the dates I feel like are escaping me. I want to say September 19th at...
If you can't remember specifically, it's okay. It's still a ways away.
I know it's a Saturday and a Wednesday.
So if people are interested, is there a way they can... follow up.
We're going out in the program for the Fringe Festival. We have a release in that with a little blurb.
Perfect. Yeah.
And it'll have all the information on there for people who are interested. It's a great, I think it's going to be fun for families. So
there's not a lot of that in Fringe, so I think that's going to be very cool.
Family friendly.
Yeah.
Who's performing in your show?
Right now, I have a few. I decided not to do auditions because I know enough actors who are contemporaries of mine who are super talented, and I want it to be just kind of a close-knit show. So a lot of local actors who you've undoubtedly seen on stage.
I did a Fringe show for about 2012, I think, and around this time of year, I know the lot was still up in the air for me too. Kate and Alec, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And talking about your process and inspiring everyone. Is there any last parting words you'd like to give? Keep it, you know, short but sweet.
I don't know. I just say keep an eye out.
Well, to just kind of go full circle to what you said before, it's make your own opportunities.
Yeah.
There's any wisdom I can impart before I leave.
Make your own opportunities.
If you want to do a show, just do it.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Perfect. And, you know, Muck in Rochester is a great place to do that.
Yeah.
Got to give them a shout out.
All right.
You guys, thank you so much for coming on Lit Up. And everyone, keep your eyes out for Alec Michael and Kate Royal. Up and coming.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.